The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The definition of a recession is a decline in output for two consecutive quarters, or about 6 months.
A recession is just two consecutive quarters of economic decline.
When we talk about the possibility of a recession, what is a recession? A recession is two consecutive quarters.
Two consecutive quarters.
Two consecutive quarters.
Two consecutive quarters of declining GDP.
Because as you know, it's two consecutive quarters of down GDP.
That signals it is actually a definition of a recession.
I mean, the most common definition of a recession, two consecutive quarters of negative growth.
Even if we don't have two consecutive quarters of negative growth, we might have one quarter of growth so deep that it's classified as a recession.
Now, that was 2020. Remember that. That was the establishment's definition of recession, because that was during President Trump. That was during the COVID lockdowns. Recession, defined loosely as two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth or decline. Now, based on the Biden White House response this week, there is a report coming out on Thursday about the GDP growth. And based on the way the White House is responding to this, it looks like it's going to be another quarter of negative growth. That's two quarters of negative growth in a row. And based on that montage from 2020, that means technically the United States is in a recession. Not so fast, though. The Biden White House has a plan. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily. I am Sam Livingston, your guest host for today's show. Mr. Stephen Fleury is on a camping trip with the youth camp, the SEP camp right now. He'll be back for the show tomorrow, and he might even do a few shows from the campsite there in southern Oklahoma. If you have any feedback for the show, email that to td@thetrumpet.com. You can listen to the show live each weekday at 11 a.m. Central Time. You can watch the video of the show, The Trumpet, at thetrumpet.com/live, or download the show afterwards on any of your favorite podcast apps. So what is the White House's plan to fend off this looming recession? Well, it's really quite simple and a very ingenious plan. We'll just redefine the word recession. This is the White House publishing a statement. Well, they published this, and I've never seen this before. They called it a blog, so I guess the official White House page now has a blog post, so maybe it's becoming more like a social media app for them. So the official document says White House blog, not White House statement. This is July 21st, 2022. What is a recession? Well, some maintain that two consecutive quarters of falling real GDP constitute a recession, as the establishment told us in 2020. That, the White House says, is neither the official definition nor the way economists evaluate the state of the business cycle. Instead, both official determinations of recessions and economists' assessment of economic activity, blah, 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 are based on a holistic look at the data. Based on these data, it is unlikely that the decline in GDP in the first quarter of this year, even if followed by another GDP decline in the second quarter, indicates a recession. Crisis averted. We changed the definition and we will not be in a recession. Of course they don't want it to be a recession, because that's a nasty sounding word. That resonates with people, especially when you've got the midterms coming up in just a few months here. But you know they got their marching orders, because they're all saying exactly the same thing. Go ahead and play clip two.
I do want to emphasize what a recession really means is a broad-based contraction in the economy. And even if that number is negative, we are not in a recession now. And I would, you know, warn that we should be not characterizing that as a recession.
I understand that, but you're splitting hairs. I mean, if the technical definition is two quarters of contraction, you're saying that's not a recession?
That's not the tech.
No.
That's not the technical definition.
Two quarters of negative growth in a row, that's a recession.
In terms of the technical definition, it's not a recession.
We are seeing a slowing.
Well, we're in a transition, and it feels unique because it is unique.
I guess I would really object to this kind of semantic claim. I mean, you know, the idea that two quarters of negative GDP growth is a technical definition of a recession is wrong.
In quarters means that the economy is in a recession. Do you believe that? Is that what you ascribe to?
That is not the actual definition of a recession. It is a significant contractionary period over a few months.
What will the definition be? Well, in fact, that question is answered, but it's very obscure.
If the numbers come out and decline next week, the White House will still not consider this country being in a recession. That's what I've heard from you.
If that's what you took away, let me clarify.
Okay, because what I heard from you was you're going to take the other definition of a recession.
It's not a definition we're taking.
And what is exactly the White House's definition of a recession?
Again, I'm not going to define it from here. I'm just going
to. We're not going to be in a recession, in my view.
How can he say we're not going to be in a recession if they can't define a recession? What does that even mean? It's like that documentary, What is a Woman? Well, what is it? They won't even define it now. They just say, well, it's not two quarters of negative growth. Okay, well, what is it? Well, it's up to this board that has, like, I don't know, 500 letters long that we can't even say in under a minute. They actually decide it. We have no idea who they are, who works for them. I can't even give you the abbreviation. One of the analysts tried to say it and just is sputtering all over the place. Apparently, those technocrats, they decide. And every one of those journalists interviewing them there says right before they ask that question, I've been covering the news for quite a long time, and we have always defined a recession as two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. And you're coming on and saying, no, that's not true. Technically, that is wrong. I popped it in because I'm a commoner. I'm lowly. I don't belong on that that board of acronym or whatever it is. You've got the little dictionary app on your computer. Type that in. Type in recession and see what comes up. I took a screenshot because I don't know how long they're going to let this stay up there before they change it. Recession, a period of temporary economic decline during which trade and industrial activity are reduced, generally identified by a fall in GDP in two successive quarters. That was the definition that they had on there. That was the definition the establishment used all through 2020. But now that the recession is here, it actually has a different definition. Well, what is that? Well, we're too dumb for them to explain it to us. We just have to trust them to define it. I mean, what a perfect solution. Just change the parameters, change the goalposts. Of course, we're not going to be in a recession. I was having a little brainstorm session yesterday trying to think of, well, what terms are they going to come up with to define this era or this period that we're entering into? In George Orwell's book, 1984, he calls it newspeak, where they just come up with these vague and ambiguous terms that don't mean anything, and they use that to explain things to the plebs. You heard some of their ideas in those interviews. Janet Yellen called it a broad-based contraction in the economy. Try saying that mouthful in a campaign ad. Well, the Democrats have brought on a broad-based contraction in the economy. A recession? No. It's a broad-based contraction in the economy. Brian Deese, the other one in that montage, he says, it's a transition and it feels unique because it is unique. What is that? The definition is right there. We can all see it. We call it a recession. No. This is unique because it feels unique, and we'll tell you what it is. There's another one. All of those people work for the White House. I didn't mark down this man's name. He called it a significant contractionary period over a few months. Run that one in the ad. Democrats are bringing on a significant contractionary period over a few months. Recession, recession, recession. It is here, and they know it's here. And just like in 1984, they just change the definition. They just change the words, the meaning of the words. And then how long is it going to be before social media and the fact checkers at Facebook, who, by the way, these tech oligarchs at Google and Facebook, they go and get cushy jobs in the White House. They're going to start putting the warning labels on tweets and Facebook posts of people saying we're in a recession. Well, technically, the fact checkers have not declared this to be a recession. It's actually a broad-based contraction in the economy, or a significant contractionary period over a few months. So it is not technically true to call it a recession. These are the people running the United States of America. Fake administration, redefining words, giving you fake, vague news speak that's meaningless. The Federalist writes, get ready for a very dumb debate over the word recession. It's true, there's no scientific definition for a recession because economics isn't an exact science. Yet for decades, the media, government, economic textbooks, and dictionaries have all more or less defined a recession as two consecutive quarters of negative growth. But now, with the prospects of this week's GDP report being in the red, the Atlanta Fed estimates GDP will contract 1.6%. The administration and media are engaged in a pedantic discussion over the real meaning of a recession. They write, presidents don't create or save jobs. They do, however, propel inflation when sending checks into an overheated economy, creating energy scarcity and passing needless infrastructure bills with the help of Republicans. So it's not surprising that the same people who tried to redefine inflation are now conveniently treating a recession as an unknowable concept. We can't be in a recession if we can't define a recession. Problem solved. That's the Biden boom. That's the Biden economy. Recession averted. Well, there's quite a few stories that I'd like to cover on today's show, and a lot of it hits on major themes covered in this book, America Under Attack. And I think some of the news events that I'll get into on this show, like Mr. Fleury says in there, they can be complex, and that the devil uses that to deter people from looking into it. But when you do examine it, when you do study it, when you start overturning these stones and looking at the cockroaches underneath and seeing that rot exposed, it makes you sick. It makes you sick to the core. I thought I would mention, kind of following on with what Mr. Stephen Fleury covered yesterday in the double standard in the, I call it the Department of Injustice now, the DOJ, there were these comedians that work for Stephen Colbert, and they invaded the Capitol. They were told to leave by Capitol Police. They didn't leave. They Democrat congressmen opened the door for them so that they could go and put posters on Marjorie Taylor Greene's doors and so they could heckle some other people. But twice, I believe, they disobeyed orders from the Capitol Police. They were trespassing. They were not, they did not have an escort with them. They're just roaming the halls. Feels very much like an insurrection. They're arrested. And then just a few days ago, Garland's DOJ says, we're clearly not going to press charges on them. I mean, they didn't have permission to be at the presser event for the January 6th committee hearing that day. Never mind, they didn't have the escort. Never mind, they were told to lead twice by the Capitol Police, those great heroes that are the Capitol Police. These nine employees, no charges. Now, bear in mind, the vast, vast majority of those on January 6th who entered the Capitol didn't even know they were trespassing. The police opened the doors for them. They have been subjected to years of abuse by the Injustice Department, having their homes raided, sitting in jail cells. We talked about the 69-year-old woman with cancer who has to go sit in a jail cell for 2 months for trespassing. Probably didn't even know she was trespassing. Walked in the building. The FBI statement of facts says she was in there for about 8 or 9 minutes, walked out. That's it. The Democrats, though, the state comedians, are set free. Conservative commentator Mike Cernovich said, when you have absolute power, You don't even need to pretend. Even as people face trial for walking into a building with open doors, D.C. Democrats free their own regime propagandists. And I think the most upsetting and disgusting part about this is the decision maker in this case is the Attorney General in Washington, D.C. It's the same person persecuting those Trump supporters from January 6th for lesser crimes than what these people committed. They protect their own. And that leads me into this bombshell story. This is about a letter that Chuck Grassley wrote to Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI. And it has to do with how the FBI was running its own disinformation campaign during the 2020 election. We know everything about what they did in 2015 and 2016, running a disinformation campaign. And this campaign in 2020, it's run by a lot of the same agents. And this letter, I had to print it off just for some formatting issues, and I'm going to read it to you. But this exposes, and it connects a lot of the dots going. When you see these names pop up, it's the same people committing these treasonous acts that go unpunished for 5, 6, 7 years. And no one in the media wants to talk about it. This letter from Chuck Grassley, it's based on several whistleblower reports. Now, those are very rare when they go against Democrats. You hardly ever get whistleblowers that will speak out against the regime. But Chuck Grassley's been compiling these, and he doesn't say how many he has, but he says there are a lot, and their stories all corroborate one another, and it lines up with the bigger picture that we've been investigating over the past couple of years. So he writes this letter to Christopher Wray and says, what is going on in your department? And the media, they don't care about these whistleblowers. They're the wrong whistleblowers. If it's Cassidy Hutchinson and Donald Trump was fighting the Secret Service, that's credible. We have to talk all about that whistleblower. But this one, talking about institutional rot within the FBI and the Department of Justice, no one will talk about it. It was hard to find any sound bites to go along with this. And of course, just like it's been the past couple of years, it's Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business, not one of the big networks. It's mostly with economic news. She's the one having to report on this. I don't think she's even an investigative journalist. I think she's talks about investment and trading. But she's got Miranda Devine on her show, and I'll just go ahead and play a portion of this interview that she had, I think it was this morning. This is clip 3.
That these whistleblowers say that the FBI labeled verified evidence that you uncovered, that the Senate uncovered, Grassley and Johnson uncovered, and they labeled it disinformation. Maybe that's why 50 intelligence officials lied and signed their name to a letter calling it all disinformation right before the 2020 election. Your reaction?
This is really a breakthrough, and it does look like a concerted scheme to keep the derogatory Hunter Biden information, which was derogatory to Joe Biden, one of the candidates for president back then, out of public view, to stop the senators, Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson, who were becoming very, very close to some of this information, to stop them from inquiring, to cover up for the Bidens, and to obstruct any journalist reporting or Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson doing their investigation. This letter from Chuck Grassley is really just bombshell after bombshell.
When do you think the FBI and the DOJ decided that they wanted to be political and choose a side and go with the Democrats? I mean, look, we heard it throughout the Russia collusion lie. They were totally complicit. Exactly. They knew that the Russia collusion and the dossier was fake and made up. I know that for a fact. They had Igor Danchenko tell them that in January of 2017, saying, oh, yeah, we were drinking beers. We made it up. It was all embellished. And yet they still pursued FISA warrants on Trump officials. When did they go so rogue, the FBI, so much so that America cannot trust the FBI?
Now, what this letter from Grassley documents, I'll just take you on a quick rundown. In 2019, there was the computer repair guy at that shop in Delaware. Hunter Biden brought his laptop there, forgot all about it, and this guy is trying to fix it, and he's going through the hard drive and says, "This is crazy. This man is colluding with China, colluding with Russians, and he's selling out his father's office. I don't want to touch this. I'm handing it to the FBI." He hands it to the FBI in 2019. They sit on it. That's what this letter from Chuck Grassley is about. The FBI verified that laptop, knew it was authentic in 2019, rather than proceeding along with their investigation. These agents cooked up documents to allege that that laptop and the information that was leaking from it was Russian disinformation. So they stalled and stopped that investigation, worked to make sure that it couldn't be opened up again. Then Chuck Grassley, the Senate Judiciary Committee, they start investigating it. Now, this is the big bombshell. Is Chuck Grassley, Ron Johnson, they're looking into this. The FBI calls them up to give them a briefing and says, "Hey, I know you're looking into that laptop. We looked into it. It's Russian disinformation. Don't waste your time. I'll read through it in this letter." That happens in 2020. The computer guy, he's like, the FBI isn't doing anything. Joe Biden's about to get, doesn't look like Joe Biden's about to get elected. He's the front runner. He's the candidate. He says, "Look, the FBI is not doing anything about this. Nobody's hearing about it." He hands it over to Giuliani. And then you hear this campaign just ramp up to say, "Everything you hear about that laptop is Russian disinformation. And the CEOs of all the tech agencies were in on this plot with the FBI, the media, everyone in Silicon Valley, everyone in DC, and the FBI all knew exactly what was happening." At this point, you think about Nina Jankowicz. She is supposed to be the fact checker, the disinformation board from the DHS. She's defending it all through 2020. And what each of them are doing is peddling this document. It's like the equivalent of another Steele dossier that the FBI cooked up itself and handed to them. So all of them could say, the FBI looked into it. There's nothing there. Stop peddling Russian disinformation. And on top of that, the FBI went to the Senate Judiciary Committee and said, "Hey, you be careful because that's Russian disinformation." They were trying to smear the Senate committee's investigation into that laptop. Now, the Senate and Congress has oversight of the FBI. This is how the people are supposed to have oversight to this agency. And they were completely rogue, and they're lying to the American people. They're setting up President Donald Trump. They're covering for a candidate. Totally politicized, as Grassley says in this letter. He says in this letter, "Ray, you better do something about this because that institution is rotten to the core." Nina Jankowicz, she peddled it all through 2020. I don't need to read through these quotes. I'll just go ahead and read you this bombshell letter that only Maria Bartiromo is talking about. This is Chuck Grassley to Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray. "On May 31st, 2022, I wrote to you regarding likely violations of federal laws, regulations, and Federal Bureau investigation guidelines by Assistant Special Agent in Charge, Timothy Thibault, of the Washington Field Office." So Timothy Thibault, he's the first agent to remember. He works in the Washington Field Office. He says, "In furtherance of that constitutional responsibility, Congress has an obligation to investigate the executive branch for fraud, waste, abuse, and gross mismanagement." He says later on, "In response, my office has received a significant number of protected communications from highly credible whistleblowers, real whistleblowers, lots of them, speaking out to the people that are supposed to have oversight of the FBI. Grassley writes, "The information provided to my office involves concerns about the FBI's receipt and use of derogatory information relating to Hunter Biden and the FBI's false portrayal of acquired evidence as disinformation. The volume and consistency of these allegations substantiate their credibility and necessitate this letter. First, it's been alleged that the FBI developed information in 2020 about Hunter Biden's criminal, financial, and related activity. It is further alleged that in August 2020, FBI Supervisory Intelligence Analyst Brian Auten," he's the second one to remember, opened an assessment which was used by an FBI headquarters team to improperly discredit negative Hunter Biden information as disinformation and caused investigative activity to cease. So here's the FBI. They're supposed to be verifying these things, seeking the truth, trying to administer justice. That's what it's called, right? The Department of Justice. And they are creating documents that are discrediting the authenticity of that laptop. So everything you heard in 2020, all of those media talking heads, the FBI says it's Russian disinformation. 50 former intelligence officials who have no information about this whatsoever have said it's Russian disinformation. Well, what did they base that on? They based it on what this man, Brian Auten and Timothy Thibault, concocted in the FBI to cover for Joe and Hunter Biden. So this is the FBI not trying to seek the truth, not trying to seek justice, running its own disinformation campaign and peddling it to politicians in the media, exactly like they did with the Steele dossier. And everything that they're doing here is exactly like what they did in 2016. And they got away with it then, so why wouldn't they do it again? Grassley continues on. The basis for how the FBI headquarters team selected the specific information for inclusion in Auten's assessment is unknown. But in more than one instance, the focus of the FBI headquarters team attention involved derogatory information about Hunter Biden. Accordingly, the allegations provided to my office appear to indicate that there was a scheme in place among certain FBI officials to undermine derogatory information connected to Hunter Biden by falsely suggesting it was disinformation. Importantly, it's been alleged to my office that Auten's assessment was opened in August 2020, which is the same month that Senator Johnson and I received an unsolicited and unnecessary briefing from the FBI that purportedly related to our Biden investigation, and a briefing for which the contents were later leaked in order to paint the investigation in a false light. A setup, just like Jim Comey did to Donald Trump. Hey, we got to give you your briefing because the Russians are trying to get you. So come down, sit with us, have an interview. We'll tell you all about it. And they lied to his face like the devil. And they walked out of there and they leaked it all to the media. Donald Trump thought he could trust them. Michael Flynn thought he could trust them. Senator Johnson and Chuck Grassley thought they could trust them. He says it was an unsolicited and unnecessary brief. We didn't even ask you for it. You brought it to us because you wanted to tell us that what we were looking into was Russian disinformation. Then you briefed us. Then you went to the media and said that we've been briefed on this Russian disinformation. We're going ahead with it anyway. And you're attempting to smear us. You're the FBI. And you're running a political campaign. Opposition research for the Democrat Party. Is there a two-tiered system in the United States? Chuck Grassley, I'll just have to read this quote over and over again. He said to Christopher Wray, "This department is institutionally corrupted to their very core." You think Auten and Thibault, these no-name guys, they're not doing this because it was a little oversight. They're doing it because those above them are telling them to do it. And like Mr. Fleury says in America Under Attack, it all gets back to one man. Grassley says the concurrent opening of Auten's assessment, the efforts by the FBI headquarters team, and the efforts by the FBI to provide an unnecessary briefing to me and Senator Johnson that provided our Democratic colleagues fodder to falsely accuse us of advancing foreign disinformation draws serious concern. What are you doing at the Justice Department, coming after senators like that, coming after the American people like that? Grassley continues, "It's been alleged that the FBI headquarters team suggested to the FBI agents that the information was at risk of disinformation. However, according to allegations, all of the reporting, this is about the Biden laptop, was either verified or verifiable by a criminal search warrant." So they knew the laptop was real. And they decided, rather than announce this investigation, rather than press charges, rather than indict Hunter Biden in 2020 in the lead up to an election, We're going to run a disinformation campaign. We're going to lie to the American people. We're going to lie to U.S. senators. Corrupt to the core. Talks about how these agents attempted to improperly mark the matter in FBI systems so that it could not be opened in the future. Case closed. We verified it. It's not real. It's Russian disinformation. Don't ever talk about it again. Grassley says, if these allegations are true and accurate, the Justice Department and FBI are and have been institutionally corrupted to their very core, to the point in which the United States Congress and the American people will have no confidence in the equal application of the law. Well, it's been that way for a few years. And that just solidifies that point. Now, these agents, Auden and Thibault, they have been in the FBI for years, and this isn't their first rodeo doing this stuff. This is from a conservative commentator. He says, this is just completely unbelievable. Auden is the same crooked FBI analyst who vetted the Carter Page warrant in 2016, drafted the phony intelligence community assessment, concealed that Danchenko disavowed Steele, was involved in framing General Flynn, and also assessed that Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation. This agency has been running these disinformation campaigns at least 6 or 7 years, I suspect throughout their entire history, but now they're so brazen and audacious that they're doing it against the president of the United States. And what's funny is what really blew the lid on this for Grassley to start looking into it was this agent, he was just so emboldened, he had no fear of any sort of recourse or punishment, that he posted on Twitter, he called Donald Trump, who was the president at the time, a psychologically broken, embittered, and deeply unhappy man. Now, why would you write that if you're an FBI agent? He knows he can get away with it. And in that heat, in that rage or whatever, he posted that. And that was where Grassley was like, that's an FBI agent. We need to look into this a little more. And you start pulling everything back and you see all of this rot exposed. It reminds me of the footnote in Transformed by Truth where they said it was their Christian duty to not publish Mystery of the Ages. And how... you know, there's no logical reason for them to say that, and that led to their downfall. It was they're just in this fit of rage, or they're glorying about it, and they write something dumb, and it brings them down. I want to play a montage that we've played for you several times before, and now that you have this context, knowing that it wasn't the media cooking up this scheme about the laptop being Russian disinformation, it was the FBI. People who are paid by us, the taxpayer, people who are supposed to be accountable to Congress, lying to Congress, lying to you, acting on behalf of a politician, their preferred candidate. This is clip number 11.
This whole smear on Joe Biden comes from the Kremlin. That's been clear for well over a year now.
There are these issues with the Bidens that are absolutely invented, imagined.
A series of lies peddled them by Rudy Giuliani.
Last week, Giuliani and former Trump official Steve Bannon provided the New York Post with unverified emails.
Every major national, international, and local news operations looked into it has said it's a lie.
Operation looks right out of the Kremlin playbook.
The FBI, we know, is investigating whether they are or are not tied to Russian disinformation, a Kremlin-constructed anti-Biden propaganda campaign.
50 high-level intelligence agents, people who have worked in the intelligence agencies, came out and said that this is most likely Russian propaganda.
There is no controversy about Overseer Gillian, just a question. It's a flat lie because...
To me, these are distractions. I mean, the American people don't want to hear these smears against my family.
His buddy, Rudy Giuliani, he's being used as a Russian pawn. He's being fed information that is Russian, that is not true.
That is amazing. And we've played that montage 3 or 4 times over the last year or two. Each time we get a little more detail added to the backstory there, and now we know every single one of them was peddling a lie from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. It's like Soviet propaganda. Totally brazen and audacious what these people are doing. And you've got whistleblowers. It's shocking to have some whistleblowers come out and speak about this. This clip from Miranda Devine, this sounds like a quote right out of America Attack. And they're saying this now. Remember what we've been saying, what Mr. Gerald Fleury has been saying since 2016, 2017, all the way to 2006, 2007 with the election of Nancy Pelosi, and talking about the radicals taking over this country. You heard it here first. Go ahead and play clip number four.
I mean, we know that under James Comey, they were completely rogue. Who knows how long the rot has been going on for? What we do know is that the Trump era certainly exposed them. A whole lot of cockroaches came scurrying out from under rocks. And now we have links between the people who are covering up the Hunter Biden information and the Russia hoax story that the FBI was complicit in. That is what the whistleblowers are telling Chuck Grassley. And look, you know, thank goodness for that, because at last we are seeing the dam is bursting. There obviously are patriots inside the FBI who are now willing to come forward. Multiple whistleblowers have come forward to Chuck Grassley. I'm also told that there have been multiple witnesses in other aspects of the Biden saga who are coming forward now to Republicans as they see the midterms looming, and they see that maybe there will be some legitimate investigation done into what's going on at the FBI, because, you know, this makes the country less safe. We're paying $10 billion a year plus for the services of the FBI. And at present, all we can see is that they are going after good Americans and protecting bad Americans.
Now, this scheme was cooked up by the Washington field office, their headquarters there in D.C. Listen to her, though, completely rogue. The rot has been there for a long time. The Trump era certainly exposed them. The dam is bursting. The country is less safe because of what is happening here. And these are the same agents that got away with it in 2015 and 2016. And a few people are noting that, how was this happening under Bill Barr's leadership? He didn't want to appoint a special counsel to oversee the Hunter Biden investigation. Just keep it at the D.C. headquarters office. Let the seventh floor handle it. Christopher Wray, totally compromised, totally corrupt. I'd be shocked if he does anything about this letter. Those agents are mentioned in Horowitz's report from 2019. They were part of the same ones that, well, they didn't have bias. They just made 17 mistakes, as Mr. Fleury writes about in America Under Attack. This is from Saving America from the Radical Left Temporarily. This was in 2018. Mr. Fleury says, for 8 years under President Obama, the forces of the radical left were on the march, virtually unchecked. Even Republican leaders caved in, and that was after they had taken control of Congress and had a lot of power to stop the president. Donald Trump has proved himself willing to take a stand where others have not. It is quite something to behold. It is quite something to behold him resisting these anti-American forces. He has inspired a few other leaders to challenge the radical left and help expose it for what it is. And now, Mr. Fleury, he noted in America Under Attack, he says, where have we seen one serious whistleblower among these pathetic elites or anybody else? I just thought it was interesting that that is in there, and yeah, it was sealed tight. I mean, you had to work hard to pry open the lid on that trash can that is the DOJ. And no one would blow the whistle. And now, well, we've got, according to Chuck Grassley, quite a few coming out and saying, this is wrong. And I don't know, maybe they're afraid of Republicans getting control of Congress in a few months. They're speaking out. But a few whistleblowers exposing the rot at the FBI. I have to play this clip, one of my favorites. This is Christiane Amanpour on CNN, the journalist, really doing her due diligence to investigate everything about the Hunter Biden laptop, clip number 13.
As you know perfectly well, I'm a journalist and a reporter, and I follow the facts. And there has never been any issues in terms of corruption. Now, let me ask you this. Yesterday, the FBI...
Wait, FBI... How do you know that?
I'm talking about reporting and any evidence.
She doesn't get to finish her statement before the other person interrupts. But she's about to say, the FBI and the FBI and... Oh, you didn't research anything. You have no integrity. You just repeat the party line. Mr. Fleury writes in America Under Attack, the modern nations of Israel have forsaken God. They know virtually nothing about the Bible and our adversary, the devil. Prophecies in Amos 7 and 2 Kings 14 reveal why God is saving America through Jeroboam. He is not going to allow Mr. Obama and the radical left to blot out the name of Israel. He will expose this conspiracy so the world can see the truth. America's temporary resurgence gives people a window to repent, but that window will not remain open indefinitely. Eventually, we will face consequences for not heeding God's warning, as you will see in later chapters of this book. Look at that rot being exposed. I felt kind of sick watching that montage again, knowing how these people, there is no truth in them. They will lie, and they will look you straight in the eye and lie, and they know they're lying, and they know you know they're lying, and they'll keep doing it, and they have power. Isn't that frightening? Is that where you want to put your trust? Request America Under Attack. Understand what is happening in this country, because there is a deep, deep spiritual aspect to what you're seeing. As Mr. Fleury covers in that book, a lot of these peoples are just beholden to demons. The way they're reasoning, the way they're talking, how brazen and audacious they're behaving. You think of those journalists and everything that they'd be taught in school about just let the facts lead you to the story. They're transgressing every rule that they were taught, and they don't seem to care. They have no problem doing that. A few more quotes from America Under Attack. This is writing about, this is the coup to overthrow Donald Trump. And then in 2020, there's the election steal, and then there is the deep state protecting Joe and Hunter Biden. Mr. Fleury writes, Obama and everyone in his circle, the intelligence agencies, the FBI, all knew that the idea of the Trump campaign colluding with the Russian government was created by Hillary Clinton's campaign and was a hoax. But they were willing to use it so they could carry on with their lawless rule over the country. Mr. Fleury says, Obama ruled over those people like a tyrant. They swooned over him, but they also feared him. They are afraid to speak out, and for whatever reason, there are these whistleblowers now. And like Mr. Fleury says in America Under Attack, God's going to expose it. He's going to expose that rot, and he's going to give you a chance to choose. Look at all of it. It's right before your face, and it stinks, and it's rot. Mr. Fleury says, these agencies, talking about the intelligence agencies, the FBI, CIA, NSA, are supposed to uphold and enforce the law. But this plot proves that they are willing to trample on the law to advance a certain radical agenda. If these law enforcement agencies can illegally surveil the president, what can they do to you? He says, this is corruption on the deepest level, so deep that most people won't believe it. Chuck Grassley, I've got to grab the quote again, institutionally corrupted to their very core. Would you have believed that 8-9 years ago? Would you have believed that in 2008? Would you have believed it even in 2016? Look at the rot that's being exposed. Talks about the FBI hiding information, lying to the FISA court, and I'm sure the judges were in on it too. That's going back to 2016 and all of the spying on the Trump campaign. Mr. Fleury says, the evidence shows a tremendous amount of lawbreaking by bureaucrats and intelligence and law enforcement. It shows that President Obama filled America's law enforcement agencies with treasonous agents. Whose orders are they filling out? Are they really listening to Joe Biden? Are they really trying to cover for him. They needed to install the puppet candidate. It's all part of a treasonous plot. Well, following on with that quote, what can they do to you? If that's what they can do to you, look what, or if that's what they can do to the President of the United States, if that's what they can do to General Michael Flynn, who served the United States military, they can ruin his life. What can they do to you? In America Under Attack, Mr. Fleury has quite a bit about Democrats and gun control and how they're trying to get all of the power for themselves. They don't like that the U.S. public can defend itself against tyranny. This clip, this was circulating on social media the other day, just a fascinating exchange of these police officers showing up unannounced at this man's house to ask to see his guns. And it'll explain some of the details in the video. This is clip 9.
All I'm doing is verifying that you have it. You got two different purchases. Okay. If you have them, I'm out of here. That's how quick it is. Yeah. You have them with you by any chance? Are they? If you can unload them and bring them out, or you can go out to your foyer here, check them out, by number, serial number, and we're out of here.
That's it?
Yep.
That's it. It'll take 5 seconds.
The reason we're out here is we're obviously gun violence has been an uptick, so we want to make sure we've been having a lot of issues with straw purchases. So one of the things we indicators that we get is somebody makes a large gun purchase, and then a lot of times we've been there like, oh, those guns got taken. We're like,
So
the idea is when you purchase more than two guns at a time, it generates a multiple sale report. And it comes to us and we have to check them out. Okay. That's all that is. He did nothing wrong.
Now, bear in mind, all this man did, law-abiding citizen, does it all by the book. He bought two guns. That is not illegal, but that sends a red flag through their system, and they send police to your door to make sure you have those weapons. Not with a warrant. I mean, that man could have certainly said, you don't have a warrant, I don't have to show you anything. But that's a difficult position to be in. When armed police officers show up at your door and say, give me your guns, well, boy, what are a lot of people going to do when that starts happening more often? They're intimidating you. And that happened, of course, in Delaware, where Hunter Biden can lie on his form to purchase a gun. You can't buy a gun if you're convicted of these drug offenses, which he, all through his time in the Navy, snorting cocaine and what have you, is discharged. He lies on that report, buys a gun. Then I think he's being pulled over or something. His girlfriend takes the gun, sticks it in a trash can in a school zone, which is illegal. So the gun, it's illegal for him to possess it. You can't just toss it in a trash can, especially not in a school zone. That's illegal. We know all of those details. Apparently, the Delaware state troopers or whatever are looking into it. But the FBI rolled up to that trash can before the police got there and took that gun. They're covering for him in every way. But the ordinary citizen who buys two guns, which is not illegal, has the police roll up at his door and say, show me those guns. Mr. Fleury says, the lawless mindset of radical Democrats is exposed by their stance on gun control. They hate the Second Amendment and want to destroy the Constitution. Every time there is a mass shooting, even before any facts about the situation come out, they immediately begin pushing for gun bans. Many of them don't just want to raise the buying age or to restrict the sale of a few types of guns. They want to enact these measures on their way to confiscating all privately owned guns. That will leave them with all the firepower. In that clip, he says, well, there's been a lot of gun violence going on, so we have to check that you have your guns. There's the crisis that they need. That might be why all of these radical prosecutors aren't putting the thugs in jail, which is proven to decrease crime. So now you have a surge of I almost said gun violence, gang violence, because these people will attack police officers, and there's a video of that happening in the New York City subway, and they get out of jail the next day. So, of course, there is rampant crime in U.S. cities. And rather than going after those crooks like you see in that video, this thug just fighting with the police, putting him in a chokehold, smashing his head up against a metal bar, he's released the very next day. They use this crisis to go after private gun owners. And how do they know where those private gun owners are? Because they register They have to get a license in some states. They follow the law to do it, and they're being punished and intimidated. Why? Because it's a gun grab. This story, this didn't get a lot of attention after Hurricane Katrina in 2005, but there was so much violence going on. And rather than bring in the National Guard to restore order, to lock up the thugs, they started going after the people who wanted to stay in their homes and defend their property and their possessions. This is a news report from ABC in 2005. This is clip 10.
That includes New Orleans, where today authorities stepped up their efforts to empty the city. Bob Woodruff is there again tonight with an extraordinary human drama unfolding. Bob?
That's true, Elizabeth, and good evening from New Orleans. Here, the police and the National Guard find themselves in a very difficult position tonight to try to carry out an order to force people from the city without actually using force.
Today in New Orleans, they got a lot tougher on the holdouts.
Police Department, they come home!
Not only the flooded areas, but New Orleans' driest and wealthiest neighborhoods, too.
Police Department!
The police and National Guard going street by street, house to house.
We need to make sure, too, that whenever we knock on doors, people refuse to leave. We need to make note, call it in.
They say there are no orders to use force, just strong persuasion, sometimes entering open houses with guns drawn, and instructions to disarm anyone inside.
You say guns will be taken?
No one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons.
That happened today in this wealthy neighborhood where homeowners had armed themselves to protect their mansions. Residents were handcuffed on the ground. In the end, police took their weapons but let them stay in their homes.
They were a little bit threatened because our weapons were bigger than their weapons.
For many of the police and guard troops, it is an uncomfortable job to do this in an American city. This guard unit occupied a church, using it as a base camp. They had to leave a note because they could not get hold of the pastor to get permission.
It is surreal. Yeah, you never expect to do this in your own country.
Chris Montgomery says he'd rather be in Iraq than patrolling American neighborhoods.
Walking up and down these streets, you don't want to think about the stuff that you're going to have to do. Somebody pops around the corner.
You mean shoot an American?
Yeah.
There are a number of events that are startling like that, where you don't hear a lot about them. I mean, there's obviously the optics of the big events, but this is one of the most terrifying things to happen in the United States that got very little attention. Now, the NRA was down there in a heartbeat. There were lawsuits all over the place for these people to get their guns back. But there was the crisis. There was Hurricane Katrina. There was looting. But the people that wanted to guard their stores, there were some other videos about this woman. She wants to guard her shop. Her life was invested in that business, and she wanted to protect her property. The police came and took all of her guns. So the law-abiding citizens who don't want to get in trouble, of course, they're just, okay, fine. The criminals are never going to tell you they have a gun. But that happened, and that was, I mean, close to 20 years ago now. And that's a Democrat-run city. Use the crisis, grab the guns. And what they said in that clip in Delaware, we've got a gun violence epidemic going on right now. Where is that leading? There's quite a few more quotes about that in America Under Attack, and how that federal government, I mean, they're loading up. they're not, you know, laying down the guns first. They expect ordinary people to do that. They're buying up ammo. You've got all of these random agencies like the EPA buying tens of thousands of rounds for pistols, and at the same time working to intimidate and eventually disarm Americans. I'll conclude with another quote from America Under Attack. It says, "The Bible provides the keys to understanding these otherwise incomprehensible events. As Amos 3 verse 7 says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants the prophets. God explains all these truths so we can recognize what is happening, heed his warnings, and turn from our sins. He also gives the outline of where these events will lead so we can see God's hand in what is happening as events unfold according to his prophecies. Every American needs to recognize this and act on it. Regardless of what happens nationally, God gives you the power and the choice to do so individually." Well, thank you for listening to today's show. If you have any comments, You can send those to td@thetrumpet.com. You can call us to request any literature, 1-866-930-3024. Thank you very much for joining us.